Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
James chapter number 1, verse number 26. I'll get you to stand in honor and reverence of. Hey, she chose where to go, so blame it on her. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for another opportunity to get behind the pulpit tonight and to preach your word, God. I just pray that it would be a blessing to these people, God. I just pray, Lord, that you'd get me behind the cross, God. And just, I know that if I preach from my own will, Lord, it'll all be in vain. I just pray that you'd increase and I'll decrease for the next few minutes, God. And it'd just be a blessing to these people. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in these verses, the phrase that I want to be speaking about tonight is bridling your tongue. And you all know, you can probably think of somebody in your mind when I say that. There's been many people who have ruined their testimony because they could not bridle their tongue. I think of somebody who this past year they had said something and it blew up, and it's because he was preaching and he said it and he wasn't thinking when he said it, and it's because he didn't bridle his tongue. He didn't think before he said that, and he had no idea that it would blow up and all this would happen. But I just think of many people who have ruined their testimony. And the tongue is just like any other member of your flesh. If you let it go, if you don't have control upon it, if you don't keep it in check, it'll fall apart and it'll conform to the world. It's just like any other part of your flesh. And Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if you don't wake up every day and renew your mind and pray and read your Bible, you'll find yourself that you're conforming to this world. Yes, you'll find that you're letting yourself slip, and you'll find yourself looking at those things that you used to look at and watching the kind of TV that you used to watch. And you'll find yourself listening to those things, and the mouth is no different. You'll find yourself saying things to the people around you. Maybe you get in an argument and you'll start conforming to this world. And the word bridle, it means to restrain. It means to guide. It means to govern. Now I want to get you to turn to James chapter number 3. In James chapter number 3, James writes a whole chapter about the tongue. And so we'll just take a few minutes to go through James chapter number 3, and then I'll give you the outline, and then we'll go home. Look at verse number 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. So when he says this, he's saying, not every one of you should want to be a teacher, because those teachers, they're judged by the Lord much more strictly. Verse number 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. So he says that if you can control the tongue, then you've made it. If you can control the tongue, then you shouldn't have a problem with all these other members of your flesh. You shouldn't have a problem with the other sins, because the tongue will say things quicker than what you can think. The tongue will say things quicker than what you think, and so if you can control your tongue, then you've made it. But the reality of the situation is, we all come to the point where we say stuff we shouldn't. Verse number 4. Behold, also the ships which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. And so what he's saying in these verses is, if you get upset and you have this, you're burning with something to say, you get upset and you're in an argument, the Bible says that that burning that you have in you, that's a fire from hell. And in James chapter number 1, go flip back another page, verse number 19, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." And I'll go ahead and testify here that there's been many times where my wrath did not work the righteousness of God. And there's been countless of people who have got mad and they've gotten their feelings and they said something on Facebook and that they shouldn't have said, and they went on a rant and they ruined their whole testimony just because they got mad and they worked not the righteousness of God. And I'll give you an example. You try getting in a fight with your brother. You try getting in a fight with your sister. And then you try to go pray. Try to go pray after that. You can't sit down and start praying. You can't sit down and read your Bible after you've gotten in a fight and you've listened to your flesh and you've listened to what your mouth said to say and it worked not the righteousness of God. Now let's look at verse number 7. "For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame." Or chapter number 3. Verse number 8. "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." Be slow to speak because no man can tame the tongue. Verse number 11. "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place. Verse number 9. "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God." "Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." And what those verses are saying is that you cannot tame the tongue. And we shouldn't come in here into church and start testifying. A man will get up and he'll start talking about the goodness of God. He'll start saying how good God's been into his life. And he'll start talking about his family and the blessings of his life. And then he'll go home and he'll start getting in an argument with his wife. And he starts saying things he doesn't mean. And don't let your mouth be a fountain of those fruits. Don't come here and testify and go home and start calling your family names, or your brother or your sister. Verse number 11. "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive trees, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and undued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." And you know, I can look at my tongue, and I can think about the things that I say, and I think to myself, I do pretty good. I don't cuss. I don't cuss my wife out. I don't do all these things. I don't say things I shouldn't say at work. But then I look at myself where strife is, and that's where I fall short. And that's where there's every evil work, as it says there in verse number 16. Where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. I'll tell you right now that envy and strife, it'll cause you to do every evil work. There's been anything from murder to name calling from strife, every evil work. Verse number 17. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." And I sure say, if you read verse number 17, it'd be a good day that if out of our mouth came those things. If out of our mouth, whenever we got in an argument, we didn't start name-calling. If we got in an argument with our brother, we didn't start name-calling and saying things that don't actually attack the problem, but attack the person. It'd be a good day whenever we can come to our brother and we can have words that are first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. And I laugh because whenever I'm in an argument, that's not me. That is not me. It's not peaceable and easily to be entreated. Now, we'll get to the message. I got four practical points and then we'll go home. I'll get you to turn to Hebrews chapter number 10. I want to give you four practical points of bridling the tongue. And number one, that's bridling the tongue in goodness. In goodness. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 24. Again, bridling meaning to restrain, to guide, or to govern. Verse number 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so those verses, they're saying you can come in here, you can come into this church house and you can be nice to somebody. Or you can either come in here and be mean to somebody, or you can come in here and be nice to somebody. And how hard is it to come up with something nice to say about somebody instead of coming here causing division and making the pastor's job harder on him and having aught between your brother? How hard is it to say something nice instead? And if I could, I'd like to get Brother Jonathan up here. Yes. And Brother DC. And let's get. Can you turn the blue mic on? All right. Now, can you stand right here in front of me? Now, here in a moment, I'm going to get you to say something nice to DC. Now, DC, I know it's been a long time since you've heard something nice said about you. But I promise your wife doesn't mean it. She just doesn't want to lie to you. Now, can you say something nice to him?
I can. Thank you for your faithfulness.
All right. Can you say something nice to him?
Thank you, Pastor, for loving my family.
Amen.
How did that make you feel when he said
that?
How did that make you feel when he said that?
Made me feel good.
Now you see, how hard was that to think of something nice to say? Y'all can sit down. But I know I didn't say something nice to DC, but how hard is it to when we come here to church? How hard is it to think of something nice to say and encourage someone? And I'll read verse number 24 of Hebrews, chapter number 10, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How hard is it to, after your Sunday school teacher gets done teaching, you go up to him and say, hey, I appreciate that. I appreciate the time that you spent in the Word and showing us something. And I could be, and there's many people, they walk out the doors and their Sunday school teacher spent all week studying for something, but they go away and they find something wrong with what they said. How hard is it to say something? This message is going to cost me. But how hard is it to go up to your wife and say something nice to her? By the way, you never know who's walking through the church, down, depressed. You never know who's having a hard week, and those small words turn their week around. You never know who that is. Now, I'll get you to turn to a few places, and if you turn here with me if you want to, but Proverbs chapter number 27. Look at verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We all know that verse, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. That's the part that a lot of times we leave out. And how many times have you been having a bad week or struggling, and somebody walks up to you and they say, man, I just appreciate you, or something of those matter. And how many times have I feel like I preached a message and I just feel like I just laid an egg and I walked down and someone said, that really helped me. You don't know what that does for somebody. Proverbs chapter 31. Look at verse 26. She openeth her mouth. This is talking about the virtuous woman. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Kindness is found in virtue. And how hard is it to be kind to somebody? And somebody said, I want me a Proverbs 31 woman, but I want to be a Proverbs 31 husband. Because then you won't have to do nothing. You just get kind to, and they do everything for you, you know. But Proverbs chapter 15. Look at verse number 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Proverbs chapter 29. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Proverbs 29:20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. And that goes back to the example I used at the beginning. When a man that is hasty in his words, he just ruins his testimony just because of one thing he said. Hebrews chapter number 3. And I don't have much to say about these verses because they say it a whole lot better than I can. Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. All right, turn to Philippians chapter 2. How hard is it to try to think of something nice to say to somebody every day? If there be, verse number 1, chapter 2, verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the other things of others. I tell you, if we could just get Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1 through 4 down, if we could just get those four verses down pat, there'd be a whole lot of saving from home breaks. There'd be a whole lot of saving from church breaks. There'd be a whole lot of saving of any bitterness that we ever have. If we just put other people's preferences first. Now, I understand that sometimes it's hard. But the Bible says, it may be hard, but love your enemies. And sometimes they may not be lovable, but love has to be cultivated. Love has to be worked up. It has to be tilled up, and you have to cultivate that love. Even if they're not lovable, even if they don't deserve it. So first of all, I say bridle the tongue in goodness. Secondly, bridle the tongue in guile. In guile, that means craft. It means cunning. It means deceit. And this is the point where we all say, well, I'm not so bad when it comes to this. I don't go around telling lies. I don't go around doing all that and trying to cheat my neighbor. But how about when you get to work and you try to cheat your hour sheet? How about that? That's deceit. How about when you tell a story and you leave out half the details and you portray an image that's only half the story? That's deceit. And I once heard that half-truths are full lies. And the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And so that means that we all still have, I know that we're saved, but the flesh is still there. The flesh still has that temptation. And though we may get saved, there's still some deceit in us. And you may not blankly lie. You may not go up to the preacher and say, I donated $5 million to a missionary last week, and lie through your teeth. But when it comes to justifying your story, oh boy, there's some deceit there. So I say, bridle your tongue in guile, bridle your tongue in goodness, bridle your tongue in guile, bridle your tongue in gossip. And this point would seem very self-explanatory. Don't go talking bad about your neighbor. But week after week, people leave the church, and they start pointing out different things about the people, even in the church. And week after week, they still have that problem. And even the preacher, he comes up and preaches about it, and they still have that problem. And it seems very self-explanatory, but this is where the people use the excuse. They say, well, I'm only telling the truth. It's a true story. They did this. I'm only telling the truth. Well, turn to Leviticus 19. Look at verse number 16. It says, thou shalt not go up and down. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. So just because it's true, just because the story that you're telling about somebody is true, if it's negative, it's still gossip. You could dig up many things about me that I did back in my early years. You could dig up many things. But if you went around telling people about that, I tell you, I wouldn't like it. You could dig up many things about me that I did, and they're true, that are in my past, but I wouldn't like it. And if I want you to, the solution to that is I want you to put yourself in their shoes. If I was the one who did this, if I was the one who did this sin, that it may be true, would I want them going around telling people about that? And here's the answer. I don't know not one of us that would want that. There's things that Joanna could bring up about me right now that would make me walk out of this building and make me never want to come back in because I'd be embarrassed of the things that I've done. But the principle, if you look down in Leviticus 19, you skip down three verses, it says, this is why. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Would you want somebody telling that story about you? And I know it's easy to start rambling on, but maybe next time you do it, think about that. Would I want, if I was the one doing that, would I want somebody telling that about me? So now I want the gossip so love your neighbor as thyself. Now I'm going to turn to Proverbs chapter 18. You can turn there if you want to. Verse number 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly. I'll read it again. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. It doesn't say that if it's a lie. It says the words of a talebearer are as wounds. And I tell you, if you walk out of this church and you start saying something bad about somebody that you say is your friend or just another member of the church, and you start running down their name, start spilling everything that they've ever done, that's not a friend. Now, then we get to 1 Peter chapter number 4, and it talks about busybodies. Go ahead and turn there. Let's look at verse number 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. So Peter, he starts listing these sins. He says, a murderer or a thief as an evildoer. Then all of a sudden you got a busybody. And you think to yourself, how is these wicked sins listed with that? But I tell you, the words of a tailbearer are as wounds. And don't be the person who's always nosy. And when someone is talking about someone over here, and you got to go over there and you say, now who is you talking about? Don't be that guy. And don't be the person that whenever they're talking about somebody, and you got to say, now when, or you got to keep asking, you got to dig, and you got to know everything. Don't be the person who looks on Facebook and starts searching and they look at everything and they know everything. Don't be that busybody. You ain't got to know everything. And it says in verse 15, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Just keep to your circle. And don't worry about all these other people. What good does it do to you if you know everything bad that somebody's done? Because the truth of the matter is, you've done just as bad. So we looked at the busybodies of the gossip, and I want to talk about the gossip of the church. Turn to 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. Look at verse number 12, chapter 5. It says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in the love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourself. Those verses right there, it says to build up those people, to build up the leaders in your church, build up the teachers, the youth pastor, the pastor, build those people up. Because they're sitting there laboring for you. But countless people, they walk out the doors of the church after Sunday, and they sit down with their buddies, and they start talking about the preacher, and they start nitpicking everything that the preacher's done, and they start saying this and that about the teacher and what they didn't like, all while they're laboring. And I want to say, if you leave these doors, and you talk bad about our pastor, and you talk bad about your Sunday school teacher, God holds you accountable for that. And the preacher may not never know what you said. And the teacher may not never know what you said. But he also doesn't know why there's no power of God on your singing. And he also doesn't know why you never come to the altar anymore. And he also doesn't know why you don't have fellowship whenever you talk to him. And he also doesn't know that why you can't pray anymore. He may never know. There's some also things he doesn't know. God holds you accountable for those things. You go walk out these doors and you start talking bad about the people of our church. It may not be the pastor. It may not be the Sunday school teacher. But if you walk out talking about our members, that only sows discord. Yes, sir. 2 Kings chapter number 2, we read about Elijah and the fire chariot coming down, and he was taken up by the whirlwind. And Elijah was the preceder of Elisha, and Elisha came and he was walking by the way, and it says that these young people, they came and mocked him. And they said, go up thou bald head, go up thou bald head. And it wasn't that they were making fun of his bald head, But they were saying, the same way that Elijah, the person that came before you, the same way that he went up into heaven, I want you to do that. And they started mocking him. They said, you go up, bald head. Go up, bald head. And they started mocking him. And you know what God did? He sent two bears, and it says that they tore him. And through the context of the passage, you kind of think that he killed him with those bears. But the purpose of the passage is to say that if you tear down the man of God, if you tear down those that will labor for you, God holds you accountable for that. Let's go to back to James chapter 3. Back to our text, verse number 10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not so to be. Don't get up here and testify and then walk away saying something bad. It may be true, but you wouldn't want it to be said about you. These things ought not so to be. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So I say, bridle your tongue in goodness, bridle your tongue in guile, bridle your tongue in gossip, bridle your tongue in gospel. And like I said at the beginning of the message, if you let your flesh have its way, you'll find yourself talking about things you shouldn't. You'll find yourself looking at things you shouldn't. You'll find yourself listening to that music that you used to listen to. In the same way with your tongue. If you let your flesh have its way, you'll never mention anything about the Lord to somebody. You'll never walk up to somebody about and tell them that there's a hell to shun. You'll never witness to somebody if you let your flesh out of the way. You have to bridle it. You have to govern it. You have to guide it, and you have to control it. And there's many times when I look back and I think that God wanted me to witness to somebody, and I let my flesh have its way. I let my mouth have its way. My mouth had some pride in it. Didn't want to say it. And I even think about the times when I felt like I should witness to somebody, but all I said was, you know, ain't God good? But how much more? Maybe the blood is still on our accounts. If he wanted us to say, are you saved? I say, bridle your tongue in gospel. Because if you don't bridle your tongue in gospel, you'll never mention anything about the Lord to anybody. And I wonder how many people's blood is on my account just because I let my flesh have its way. Now, as the preacher's coming to close out the service, I can't help but wonder how many people's blood is on my account just because I didn't bring up the gospel. And how many times that I've talked bad about somebody. And maybe you're struggling with that, and you ought to get on an altar tonight if you struggle with that. And maybe you're not struggling with that anymore, but you've never came to God, and you've never apologized, and maybe you need to get that settled, and maybe you need to repent of those things. But I could take you to countless more verses in the Bible that talk about bridling your tongue.